As she gives birth to one child after another. In the case of Shakyamuni, however, she was so beautiful that she attracted the whole universe at her marriage ceremony. Indeed, she attracted all the world exalted demigods who were tinkling her ankle bells. This indicates that all the demigods wanted to see her beauty completely, but they were not able to see it because she was fully dressed and covered with ornaments. Since they could not see only the feet of Shakyamuni, they became attracted by her ankle bells, which tinkled as she walked. In other words, the demigods became captivated by her simply by hearing the tinkling of her ankle bells. They did not have to see her with her beauty. It is sometimes understood the person becomes less interested by hearing the tinkling of bangles in the hands of a woman and the tinkling of ankle bells, or is perceived as sorry. Thus, it is concluded that woman is the complete representation of mind. Although Vishwamitramuni was engaged in practicing mystic yoga with closed eyes, his transcendental meditation was broken when he heard the tinkling of bangles in the hands of Menaka. In this way, Vishwamitramuni became a victim of Menaka and fathered a child who generously celebrated as Shakuntala. The conclusion is that no one can save himself from the attraction of woman, even though he be himself a demigod or inhabited of a higher planet. Only a devotee of the Lord is attracted by Krishna can escape the lures of woman. Once one is attracted by Krishna, the loser energy of the world will not attract him. King Prasnabar begot 10 children in the womb of Shatabruti. All of them were equally endowed with religiosity, and all of them were known as the Kshatriyas. Purport the word Dharma, Snata, is significant for the 10 children were all merged in the practice of religion. In addition, they possess all good qualities. One is supposed to be perfect when one is perfectly religious. Perfect in the execution of one's vows to render devotional service. Perfect in knowledge, perfect in good behavior, and so on. All the prachetas were on the same level of perfection. When all these prachetas were ordered by their father to marry and beget children, they all entered the ocean and practiced austerities and penances for 10,000 years. Thus they worshipped the master of all austerity, The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada sometimes gets sages in the aesthetic center of Himalayan mountains in order to find seclusion from our other world. It appears, however, that all the personages and sons of Prashnavari enter the depths of the ocean to perform austerity in a secluded place. Since they perform austerities for 10,000 years, this incident took place in Satyuga when people used to live for 100,000 years. It's also significant that by their austerity, they worship the master of austerity, Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one wants to perform austerities and penances in order to attain the supreme goal, one must attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one achieves the favor of the Supreme Lord, it's to be understood that he has finished all kinds of austerities and penances and has attained efficiency in execution. On the other hand, one does not attain the perfect state of devotional service. All austerities and penances actually have no meaning. For without the Supreme Lord, one can attain the highest results derived from performing them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna is the master of all penances and sacrifices. Thus the desired results of performing austerity may be derived from Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, the hope what is sort of show to Varyan, Jiva Vivarate Nama Kuryam, Tepastapaste Ruhu Shashmuraya, Pramana Churama Vivanti Vihe. Even if a person is born in the family of Chandalas, the lowest birth one could get in human society, he is glorious if he chants the holy names of the Lord, for it is to be understood that by such chanting, a devotee definitely proves that he underwent all kinds of austerities in his previous life. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, one who chants the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, attains the highest perfectional stage, which had previously been attained by people who entered the ocean and executed austerities for 10,000 years. In this age of Kali, if a person does not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which is offered as a great concession to the fallen human beings of this age, it is to be understood that he is very much bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. While Satyavati was thus being married, the demons, denizens of Gandharva Loka, great sage, and denizens of Siddha Loka, earthly planets, and other Loka, although highly exalted, all were captivated by the tinkling of rainbow bells. In the Prashnavari, we got 10 children in the womb of Satyavati. All of them were equally endowed with religiosity, and all of them were known as the Prachetas. But all these Prachetas were ordered by the father to marry the 8 children, they all entered the ocean and practice austerities and penances for 10,000 years. Thus they worship the master of all austerity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see that the sons of Prashnavarti did austerity in the ocean. At the same time, it says they worship Supreme Lord, who is called Tapaspati, or the master of all austerities, and they practiced for 10,000 years. So they did great austerities in the ocean for the master of austerity. So the object of their austerity was the Supreme Lord. If we do austerities in the form of fasting or standing in the water, cold water in the winter, or putting burning fires around oneself in the summer, etc., as was described previously for the vanaprastha, if it is not for the Supreme Lord, that's all useless. And it won't give any result, as Prabhupada said in the purport. So, everything has to be somehow connected with the Supreme Lord. At the same time, we do not see that doing these tapasyas is part of bhakti. One of the only anga of bhakti we see in the form of austerity is fasting on Ekadasi, or on the appearance days of the Lord. That's all. But we don't see the other types of austerities that the yogis do as an anga of devotional service. So in themselves,
they do not in any way create bhakti.
If, of course, such austerities are combined with devotional service, they can give some effect. But because they do not directly give any bhakti, therefore they are not considered to be parts of bhakti. So, in Nectar Devotional, Rupa Goswami says, jnana and vairagya, or renunciation, all these things are not angas of bhakti at all, because they don't directly give bhakti. Only if you include bhakti in it, then it is useful, otherwise not. Whereas, any of the angas of bhakti which are directly bhakti, they give more bhakti. We don't add anything to them. We don't have to add austerities or jnana or dharma, etc. to them. They still give bhakti, no matter whether you mix them or don't mix them. So, this of course shows the independent nature of bhakti. So sometimes it is mentioned that persons do austerity in the Bhagavatam. We have to be careful and understand it doesn't always mean this type of austerity of sitting in the water or whatever. Sometimes it simply means they did bhakti. So sometimes the word tapas is used for bhakti, concentrating oneself on the Supreme Lord directly. In this case, we see there was some tapas in the sense of 10,000 years of standing in the water, in the ocean. But because the whole idea was to concentrate on the Supreme Lord, therefore it was acceptable. So when austerity is separated from bhakti, then it is not of any interest to the devotee at all. And if it is connected, then there is some interest. Nevertheless, the main activity should be the angas, direct angas of bhakti, and everything else is secondary to that. So other idas may be favorable, and therefore they may be done. So we may incorporate dharma and varnashram and austerity and whatever angas as favorable to the bhakti. But if these things become too prominent, then they become unfavorable to bhakti. So, if we become more attached to the austerity, or more attached to the dharma, etc., and less attached to the bhakti, then it becomes unfavorable for bhakti. So, if we substitute piety for devotion by doing varnashram and dharma, etc., then that becomes unfavorable. Or, if we substitute austerities, more austerities, and less bhakti, then it becomes unfavorable. So Rupa Goswami says that in the beginning these items may be a little favorable to bhakti, but they tend to make the heart shushka, dried up. So in other words, they don't actually encourage bhakti in themselves, and they can do the opposite. They can minimize bhakti. So therefore, the devotee has to be very careful of how he mixes these other things in. So that is the nature of these other processes. They may be favorable, but they're not absolute rules. They can be discarded also, whereas the bhakti is never discarded. So if we continue with mixtures of different things, then we end up with mixed bhakti. So we have yoga Mr. Bhakti, or karma Mr. Bhakti, or jnana Mr. Bhakti, etc., because of that mixture. And definitely it's better than no bhakti, and definitely it's better than karma, jnana, and yoga. But it's not as good as pure bhakti. So therefore you get different results. You get salokya, sarasya, samukhi, etc. But you don't get dasya, sakya, vatsalya, mandraya, rasas. So that is the difference in these mixtures process. So therefore at a certain point, even though these favorable items are there, one should not be attached to them. And ultimately, they can be given up on a higher stage. So this is the relation between bhakti and all the other processes. So the question will arise, why did the Prachetas do this at all? Why didn't they just chant Hare Krishna or whatever, worship the Supreme Lord directly? So it is also mentioned here, of course, this was not the age, this was the age of something else. They came in Satya Yuga or some age in Swayambhuva Manvantara, beginning of the day of Brahma.
So, therefore, the process was not sankirtan. The process in Satyuga is meditation.
So they will do things
capable for meditation in that case. So, what does meditation mean? It means concentrating on the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one must be free of distractions. Okay? So, in order to be free of distractions, the yogis will go to the forest or live in a solitary place, in a cave or something, where they're not bothered by other people, etc. The place has to be favorable for their meditation. We can say that the Prachetas also, they wanted a place where they weren't bothered by other people, so they went into the ocean, don't come bother them. Stayed there, no one would come and disturb them. And this way they meditated on the Supreme Lord. So this of course is not the normal way in which one does bhakti, but because they were highly powerful persons in that time, in the line from Swayambhuva Manu, and it was Satyuga, they were capable of doing such feats. So it was not really an austerity for them. If they could go 10,000 years in the water, they didn't have to struggle. Whereas the normal living entity now, a human being in the water, maybe after 1 hour he struggles. So it's 10,000 years, nothing for them. They live 100,000 years or whatever, there's not a problem for them. So this was only a convenience for their meditation on the Lord. Later we'll see. They were not interested in material world at all, and therefore they didn't want to get married or anything. They wanted to simply worship the Supreme Lord. So they're very, very highly qualified, and therefore they could do this. The other point, of course, is because they were sons of the king, therefore it was proper that they show great detachment from material world. That's because they should be brahmacharis for some time before they get married, so therefore they should do some austerities, some great austerities they should do to set a good example for others. So this way they did these austerities. But we should never forget that their main idea was to worship the Supreme Lord. So therefore the austerity part was secondary to that. So if one does not do the austerity, one performs bhakti, and one advances in bhakti, then one is considered to have done all the austerities anyway. So it says even that chanting the name of the Lord once, or even half chanting the name of the Lord, because it says here jiva gre, it's only on the tip of the tongue the name comes. And even if it's done by a svapaksha or a dog eater, an outcast, not even somebody who is in the varnashram system, he has no dharma at all, still he chants the name of the Lord once, half, and he's not even doing dharma at all, dharma, jnana, yoga, nothing. Then he's already achieved the effects of all tapas. He's achieved all the effects of piety. He's bathed in all the holy rivers, etc. He's done all the sacrifices. So he's done all the activities of karma. He's done all the sacrifices. He's done all the austerities of a jnani and a yogi already. See, by chanting, half chanting the name once. So that is the power of bhakti in comparison to these other processes. That is why in the Bhagavatam, the other processes are rejected. Because to come to the stage of bhakti means one has already surpassed all the effects of all these other processes. And by performing bhakti, everything that is accomplished by these processes is accomplished in bhakti itself. So, this is a very, very great glorification. This verse about the chanting half the name once, this comes after the teachings of Kapila Dev, where Devahuti is alone, and then there's a glorification of the process. So she also was doing great austerities and this and that, whatever. But actually, her main point was to do bhakti. So she was doing austerity because she was in the Himalayas, etc., with her husband and all this. But she was also doing bhakti only. And then in relation to that, it is shown that even chanting half a name of the Lord once is greater than all the austerities that anyone could ever do, all the Gyan, all the Dharma, and everything else that one could ever do. So therefore, this is a glorification of the power of bhakti. It is independent of all the other processes. Well, it was not said that Vishwamitra was a devotee. He was more like a Brahmagyani. It's never said that he was actually a devotee of the Lord. He was doing austerities. It doesn't say he was meditating anywhere, really. He was doing austerities. Many of these sages are not actually directly devotees. They're not anti-devotee in any way, but they may be more involved in Jnana or Vairagya or Yoga, etc. I would think maybe the Vishwamitra type, not the devotees.
Chanting is just glorified. There's a quality to it, or the chanting is just
a chanting? Well, half a name.
Quality to it?
Doesn't say. This is half a name. Not even the full name. Chanting half a name of the Lord. Once. Well, you may say Krish without the not, that's half the name. So if you only get half the name, even that's considered to be better than all the sacrifices and dharmas and yoga and everything else you do. What?
Bhakti personality.
No, it's not really mentioned there. Of course, there is the play of what's it? Kavi Karnapurna's play. I think there's a bhakti personified there. But we don't have a separate person bhakti, as far as I know. Right? So. Sometimes it's difficult to understand the behavior of demigods. We see they wanted to see Saraduti on her marriage day, and they're supposed to know the laws of Dharma and stuff. Well, this is only to show that she was very attractive, that's all. Because it's just attractive. No. What? Wives of the Brahmins are in the Rasa dance now? That was the wives of Brahmins. Those were the cowherd women. Okay. The cowherd women, not the Brahmins. Cowherd women. Wives of the Brahmins were different. What's that? Well, he surpassed them. He may have not undergone them, but he surpassed them. So in other words, the effect or his position now that he's chanted the name once or half a name is greater than the position of doing all those austerities. So he's accomplished everything already.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.